You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
What a joy to be connected together all over our city today, from Cypress to Siena, downtown to the Loop, and digital family as well. We're so glad that everybody's connected with us on campus or online. We have had a significant time already to just bring our Titus journals all over the city. This has happened. Then we brought our Titus journals, and so here we are. I'm just picking one up right here to have the Titus journal. It's amazing. These are going to go to the Star of Hope, which is going to be great to be able to minister to people. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to Titus as we look at our final message from Titus. 46 verses is all Titus is, and we've written these out. And if you didn't get to write one out, man, grab a journal. We'll still take these. You just bring it in, and we'll make sure it gets into the hands it needs to at the Star of Hope. So Titus chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Beginning in verse 12 is where we're going to be. And so it says here, I'm just going to read it right out of this journal I just pulled right up, because this is the scripture right here. For us to be able to see this verse, these verses of scripture, as Paul wraps up this book that he's written to Titus on the island of Crete. It's been an awesome journey. We have seen through Titus how to build our church, how to build our homes, how to build our lives. Here's what it says in verse 12. It says this, "When I sent Artemis and Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, because I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey so that they will lack nothing." We are people on the move is what this is getting to. We're going to stop right there. Our verse of scripture there, it gives us these names to say we are people on the move. That's our first point. Paul's talking about all these different people. And as he's talking about them from the scriptures, he's saying, look, these guys are coming from here. These guys are going here. I'm going to Nicopolis to be able to spend the winter there. There is on the move. Do you know that 140,000 people move to Houston every single year? I mean, we're like a big city coming into a big city every single year. About 140,000 plus people move to Houston. Some of the places that we have campuses, Siena and Cypress in particular, are some of the hottest places in all of America for people to move. Absolutely incredible. And people are moving in, but people are moving out as well. Now, I'm a native Houstonian. I was born in Herman Hospital in the medical center. Lived here my whole life. You don't get more Houston than being born in the medical center in Herman Hospital, okay? So my whole life has been right here in Houston. I have swatted more mosquitoes and sweated more beads of sweat than any place that I could have ever lived. But it's been a joy, too, because the people in Houston are amazing people, right? We're amazing. Don't you think we're amazing? We're great. But amazing people in the city of Houston. So people are coming in, but also people are going out. People are coming in and being then transferred out. Somebody will come in with the medical industry of the med center, and then they'll go out to a different place. Or somebody will come in with the energy sector, and then they'll go out to a different place. So we are a transient place. Some of you have been in our church for decades. Some of y'all have been here for months. Hopefully none of y'all are leaving, but we've got an in and out, and Paul has got the same thing happening. We're even more transient now because we got planes and trains and cars and all this different stuff that we can do. And Paul and these guys are on boats and on foot and on camelback and all of that sort of thing. And people on the move. Let me show you a picture of Paul's kind of travel map of just this one journey. So this is just the journey that he's on that we've been talking about. We got the island of Crete down there at the bottom. Then we're going to come up around to the right. You're going to see Ephesus on the right. That's where Timothy is the pastor in Ephesus. Then he's going to go all the way around to Nicopolis there on the west side there of Greece. So he is traveling. You got a section in the back of your Bible you never look at, and it's called the maps of the journey as a Paul. He is on the move all the time. He is going all different places, but he gives us some words with these men that he's speaking to. He's going to give us some words for a lesson for young travelers and then a lesson for kind of older travelers. The first lesson for younger travelers is this: be poured into. Be poured into. So here what he says in those verses of scripture, he says, when I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, because I've decided to spend the winter there, diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey, so they will be lacking of nothing. He's saying the people that are around you, when I send these folks to you, Titus, I want you to pour into them. I want you to take care of them in a special way. Make every effort that we could be an encouragement to people that are around us. Younger travelers on the journey, get around older travelers on the journey and allow them to pour into you. I remember when I was first engaged, I asked every person I could ask just about, I said, I'm about to get married in a couple months. What's one bit of advice you would give me about marriage? Because I wanted to know, I wanted to hear from people. I wanted to understand what they were saying and what was happening with marriage. And it was amazing. I'd be sitting in the mall and I'd just be waiting on Kelly to come. You know, she was doing her thing and I was just sitting there. And of course, all the guys were sitting there. And, what's your advice on marriage? And somebody gives some good advice. Somebody gives some bad advice. You just sift it. I remember one gentleman, he was a guy that was driving a shuttle bus. I was going to the airport, so I was in the shuttle bus. And so what's your advice to marriage? He said, you know how you open up the door for her? You know how you treat her real nice? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Boy, how many times do I hear that old man's words, keep doing it, when we're hustling and we just left the restaurant and I'm on my side of the car and she's on her side of the car. And 27 years later, she's opening the door for herself. And I think, keep doing it. And I walk around and I open up that door for her and let her in. And sometimes I hear, keep doing it. I say, no, I'm not going to do it today. And so I just get in and we're in a hurry. I mean, nobody's perfect, right? Nobody's perfect. Young travelers, ask the older travelers for advice on singlehood, on marriage, on finances. Ask them what you should do. Ask them for wisdom. They have journeyed the road before you. So Paul is saying, look, I'm sending these folks to you, Titus, and I want you, when they get there, I want you to take good care of them. I want you to pour into them as a pastor would do on the island of Crete. I want you to guide them along. We need to hear from the older and the wiser. I take younger guys on our staff, and I help to disciple them. I work with our younger speakers on how to preach the word. I help them with that sort of thing. I get together with them. I've done for years and years. I would call it the A team. I'd bring younger staff members and once a week we'd meet in my office and we would go through questions they had about ministry. I just want to pour into them. I'm not that old or that much older than them, but I've done a little bit more than they have. So I want to help do that. With our kids, we've tried with significant birthdays, in particular like 13 years old, to not just have a kid party, but to have a wise person party. So we've taken both of our kids when they turned 13 and we sat them down and I'd brought with my son about 10 men in his life and just brought them together. And we had lunch together and said, would each one of you go around and tell him something as he's entering these teenage years? Same thing with my daughter as well. And we do the kid party too, but use those significant birthdays of 13, 16, 18, 21 to bring some men around your boys, to bring some women around your girls and say, would you pour into them? I've done this a bunch of times with my kids. There'll be a man that I know is an expert at something and I'll say, hey, would you just give him a word about such and such? And you get an expert moment of this guy talking about the experiences he had pouring into my son. Tell my kids all the time, ask somebody to go to coffee that's older than you, somebody that we know, and offer to pay. They're not going to let you pay, and they're going to love telling you. And you just ask them questions about their life and let them pour into that. You are absolutely out of your mind if you think younger you know it all, and you don't need to know something from the older folks. You're out of your mind. You got to get that wisdom. It might not be as cool or listen to the same music or whatever it is, but you get that wisdom. And so Paul's saying, I want you to understand that this wisdom, I want to send these guys to you, Titus, and I want you to pour into them. I want you to pour into them. Now, he says something interesting as well, where he says at the end of verse 12, he says, Nicopolis, because is where he's going, I've decided to spend the winter there. Now, commentators tell us that he's spending the winter to rest and to plan. None of us is so important that we don't need a Sabbath. None of us is so important that we don't need a break. You don't need some time away to be able to get away. And I love, do you know what that means? That city, Nicopolis, polis meaning like metropolis would be the polis part of it. Nico, do you know what that is? Nike, you ever heard of Nike? It's the Greek word for victory. So this is the city of victory. Paul is going to the city of victory to plan and to rest. Victory comes when you slow down enough and you get your mind around things to be able to see things clearly enough when you get rest in your soul. And we're going all the time, aren't we? Going all the time. I'm so grateful to you as a church. I mean, y'all have been so generous to our family in so many ways. But one way is that I have a sabbatical each summer that I can get away. In a couple of weeks, I'll take that sabbatical. And we're going to go to Ireland for part of it. We're going to encourage some missionaries our church supports and spend time with them and be with them. They're also great friends of ours. And to be there and just refresh, that'll be just a few little section of our sabbatical time. Then other times we'll be kind of around here, around Texas, getting away a little bit, but here in our state. And to be able to just rest and to plan and to think and to study. And I love that Paul says, I'm going to go winter there. We're going to go there. And I love that the church, that y'all see me not as just a sermon machine, but as a man of God that needs to be able to be refreshed and to be able to study and to be able to understand. And that's what Paul's saying here. Go to the city of victory. Those of you that have been running and going too fast. Listen up, Cypress, Siena, downtown. To be able to know, you got to get to the city of victory. And the city of victory can often be a place that you rest. Because in those places, you say this, be still and know that I am God. And then his glory will be out throughout the rest of the earth. So man, don't just keep working. Don't just keep going. Learn from folks. Rest. I love what Booker T. Washington said. The older I grow, the more convinced I am that there's no education which one can get from books that is equal to that which is gotten from contact with great men and women. No education you get from books that's equal to that being with great men and women. Another person said it like this. Our goal is not to know something, but to be someone. That's our goal. That not to just know something, but to be someone. The second thing that we can know about being people on the move is a lesson for the older mentors, the older journeyers on the travels is this, to pour into others. So there's one, being poured into, be wise enough, whatever age, to be poured into, but also be wise enough to pour into somebody else. You've got wisdom that somebody needs. Now, I know many of you are like, what am I going to tell them? I don't know anything. You know a lot more than you know. And you get in a situation and a connection where you could just share a little bit about what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a grandparent, what it means to be an empty nester. That's my question right now that I'm asking all the time. What's it like to be an empty nester? Because in a couple of years, that's where we're going to be. I want to prepare for that and understand that. And to be older and to pour into people and to help them and to care for them. I love what he says here. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer. I hope lawyers, you're encouraged that you are mentioned in the Bible. How about that? With all the lawyer jokes that are out there in the world, you got a biblical mention right here. That's a good thing. Now, we don't know a lot about Zenas. We don't know really much more than what we have here. But Zenas here, the lawyer, can I just tell you lawyers, just for a second, I just want to encourage you. You have such a specialized education, such a specialized gift, and an ability to walk into things that scare the rest of us to death, and you handle all the time. Use your gift and use your role for good. I hope you got a list of pro bono work that you've done. I hope that you've got a list of people that you've helped and you haven't charged them a nickel. If all your lawyering is about billable hours, you have missed the call of God in your life. It's got to be about helping people. Billable hours, great. It's got to be about making a difference also in people's lives. Can I just tell you what a blessing? We had a lawyer in our church when we started announcing our adoption ministry. She basically said this, I'll take care of all those adoptions. And numerous children have been placed in loving homes because this lady who's never charged the church a penny has helped with the legal application of all the things that have to take place for that. We've had lawyers that have helped our church in numerous ways with real estate things, with buildings, with contracts, with all this stuff. What a blessing to use that, to pour into others. Zenas, the lawyer. Artemis, we don't know much about him, but some say that he was a part of the 70 disciples that were sent out pouring into others. Tychicus, we know a little bit about him from Acts chapter 20. He was a traveling companion of Paul. Do you know that he delivered the letters of Ephesians and Colossians that are in your Bible? Tychicus delivered those letters. He poured into people. We have those letters because Tychicus said, I'm going to make a difference in my life. They think that Zenas and Apollos were possibly the ones that brought the letter of Titus from Paul to Titus. So pouring into other people, we love pouring into other people. Do you know that we care for missionaries in our church? I love telling you about missions or about ministries in our church you might not know about. We have a missionary care ministry in our church. Why is that necessary? 71% of missionaries leave the field earlier than they intended for preventable causes. Hear that? 71% of missionaries leave the field early for causes that could have been prevented. We want to be a part of that help. 50% of missionaries don't return to the field after their first round of missions. 50%. So we want to care for missionaries. How do we do that? Well, last year we had 60 stays. We own 10 missionary houses. Then when missionaries come back, we say, let us care for you. And we put them in houses free of charge, mainly apartment type of houses, free of charge in 10 of them. And we've had over 60 people that have been able to live in those houses. And then we connect them with LBS classes and they pray for them. They give them food. We let them use the facilities of the church. We meet with them. We pray for them, all those sort of things. Last year, we gave more than $350,000 to help global workers in 38 different countries. Last 18 months, we helped over 140 kids of missionaries, missionary kids. They call them third culture kids is what they call them now. Why? Because they're from America, one culture. They're going to this mission field, another culture, and they don't really fit in either, and they straddle, and that's their third culture is in being in between. And they're American, but they're in this country, but they're kind of in between. And those kids, we send mission teams to care for them, to give them a lot of fun, to do different camps for them and things like that, where their parents can go to a conference and we just take care of the kids and make a big difference in their life. It's just an awesome thing to be able to do that. It's such a blessing. So pouring into others. So when we see these names in the scriptures, they're not just random names. He's saying, hey, I want you lawyers. I want you to pour into somebody else. I want you to deliver this word of Titus to Titus from Paul. I want you to pour into them. I want you to help in the ways that you've been given to help. Now look at what happens in verse 14. We're going to jump into verse 14 now. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs. Some versions say urgent needs. So that they, the people that are giving, will not be unfruitful. All those who are with me send you greetings. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with all of you. The second thing, we're not only people on the move, we are devoted difference makers. Now, you know, difference maker is one of our big themes around here. We've said the difference maker declaration for years of being able to declare it. I wrote a book called Difference Makers. Devoted to the Lord, difference makers in people's lives. That's who we are in Cypress, in Siena, downtown, at the Loop, Digital Family. We are difference makers. We don't wait. We step in. And I love this verse of scripture because I think it explains our church in a great way. In verse 14, let our people, that's the church, learn to devote themselves to good works for pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. Difference making is our life's goal. That's our whole life's goal. So as a lawyer, be a difference maker. As a doctor, be a difference maker. As a teacher, be a difference maker. As a business person, as a medical person, as a plumber, as a carpenter, as whatever you are, be a difference maker. As a student, be a difference maker. That's the core of who we are as Christians. God has made a difference in us, so we're going to make a difference in somebody else. We're not pew sitters. We're not consumers, we're difference makers, that God uses us to make a difference. Now, I love what he says with this. He says, I want you to look out for pressing needs, pressing needs. Here's what he's saying. It said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, in this way, in the King James Version, which I really like this version, it says this, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. He said, when you meet those precious, pressing needs, that is well-doing. Now, let me give you a phrase. I want to just spin this in your head. I heard a guy preach this. He's dead and gone now. It was an old, old message, but I love what he said here. He said, if we will be concerned about well-doing, we'll make a huge difference in our lives, with our lives. But if we just get concerned about doing well, we're going to lose the whole thing. Here's what I mean by that. Doing well is doing well, right? And if you get your whole life about doing well instead of about well-doing, James says your life is a vapor. James says in your life that as the rich man fades away in his pursuits. Now, here's the deal. You can do well, but as you do well, know that you're doing well is so that you can, well-doing. I'm getting mixed up now. You can do well. That's great. But you still need to be well-doing as well, making a difference in people's lives. That's a blessing. And what does that symbolize? It symbolizes we can get focused on the things of the world instead of the things of Christ. So we want to be on the lookout for pressing needs. Here's how you make a difference. When you see a need, fill it. It's that easy. When you see something and God puts it in your path, step into it. When you see an opportunity to share the gospel, share the gospel. We see an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life, make a difference. We see an opportunity to encourage, and everybody is always in need of encouragement, be an encourager. And when that happens, you're not just worried about doing well, you're worried about well-doing. You want to make a difference in somebody's life, to do something that makes a difference. I love what we've done here. This is, family, this is well-doing. And doing well at the same time, that we have these journals that we're going to be able to help people in need, an urgent need of a meal, and they're going to get the living word of God to dine on as well. Isn't that great? It's amazing to think about that. So what are we doing? We're just seeing an urgent need and we're trying to meet that urgent need. By the thousands, we're going to be able to give these journals away, which is going to be a huge difference. You're doing it, making a difference with urgent needs through your church as well, through missionary care, through all the ministries that we do. So stepping in this summer, let's have a family moment. This summer, what typically happens if people are traveling, because we're people on the move, and so our generosity goes down, but our ministry's going up. So there becomes to be a delta between our giving and our ministry. Instead, let's all be faithful and let's continue to give. We don't want to be a church that has to depend on every December to make up all the lost ground throughout the year. Be a church of faithful, devoted people that consistently do well in doing well and are giving and letting God do his work. So let that be a great, great blessing. So what needs should we meet? Let me just give you a couple examples here. Number one, let's meet let's care for the spiritually poor. You know, there's people that could be physically wealthy and spiritually poor. They don't have the Lord, spiritually poor. Let's care for the physically poor, as we're talking about here with these journals and what we've done here with the Star of Hope and our partnership with them and many other ministries. Let's care for the physically poor. Let's care for the defenseless, right? That's what I alluded to with our adoption ministry. Let's care for the defenseless, the widows and orphans, it says in James chapter 1, verse 27. And what will happen is this: the ingredients of God's calling are devotion, difference-making, and fulfillment. The ingredients of God's calling on your life and in my life are devotion, are difference-making, and are fulfillment. Those things make the difference in our lives. Now, I want you to hear this, the end of this verse, so that they will not be unfruitful. Who is it talking about? It's talking about us. That when our life is a difference-making life, here's what happens. Your life begins to be a blessed life. Isn't that great? When you give, it's better to give than to receive. When we give, it makes a difference in our life. I love this, Isaiah 58:10. If you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in the darkness, and your night, meaning dark times, will be like the noonday. God will bring healing. Isn't that great? It feels so good when we're actively involved in making a difference in other people's lives. So the need is fulfilled, but we are fulfilled as well. And Titus is saying, guys, I want y'all to go out. I want you to make a difference. Paul's saying, I want you to go out and make a difference. Now, listen to this illustration, just a sentence, and just think about this for a second. Apple trees don't eat apples. Did you know that? Were you aware of that? I think you were. The fruit is for somebody else. So the fruit in our life is not for us as an apple tree to eat our own apples. The fruit is for the apples to go to others so that they could eat of the fruit of our life. What's Galatians say? That we would walk and we would live out the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And those fruits are for other people to dine from so that when they take a bite out of your life, they say, that tastes like Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then they have a heart because a need was met to be able to see that. Isn't that what Jesus did? Let's think about Jesus for just a second. He was the model of fruitfulness, wasn't he? As he gave his life away, and so he lived the life of all the spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all seen in Jesus, so that he then ultimately gave his life on the cross, crucified, wrongly accused, wrongly died, but absolutely a part of God's will, part of God's plan. So they accused him, they crucified him. Why? So that he could rise again on the third day, so that the fruit of his sinless life, his resurrection, could be received by me and you by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we could taste of the Lord, and we could have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives so that it's a foretaste of glory divine that we could trust in Jesus for our life. Jesus lived out this life, obviously more than anybody else, of living a life of pouring into others, living a fruitful life so that we could be changed for all of eternity. Now we have Christ in our heart, so it's just as he cared about the homeless, we care about the homeless. Just as he cared about the thirsty, we care about the thirsty. Just as he cared about the people that surrounded him in the cities and the towns, we care about the people that surround us. Just as he cared about the widow and the orphan and the prisoner, we care about the widow, the poor orphan, and the prisoner. Just as he said, love your neighbor, we love our neighbors. You see it? Now it's coming through. And at that moment, that's where the fulfillment of life comes. Doesn't come from clothes or cars or beauty or handsome or this travel or that travel. Those are all well and good. I hope you have a lot of them. But to be able to say, God is using me in my life. God is using me and he's using my life. That's what makes the difference. Now, how do you do that? When you see a pressing need, and here's what's going to happen. This week, you're going to see a pressing need because you heard this message. God's going to give you the moment. And when you see that pressing need, you step into it. Rocket science? It's just doing what we were created to do. So do well. Hey, do well. Get a lot of billable hours. That's great. But do good as well over here and make it a difference. And that's what's happening. Now, he's going to give us a third thing in the last verse. This is our last verse of Titus. We've been through 45 verses in Titus. Now we're getting to our last verse in the book of Titus. Here it is in verse 15, chapter 3. Here's what it says. I'll grab another journal and I'll read it out of this journal right here. Here's what it says, verse 15. Hopefully this person's writing is good enough to read. Yes, it is. Good. I got it. Here's what it says. All those who are with me, greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Grace be with you all. Here's the last point, and we're done. We are an encouraging family. We're an encouraging family. Did you hear what he said there? He said, all the people that are with me, I just want you to know, Titus, we're on the same team. We love you. We love you. We love what God's doing in you on the island of Crete. We want you to use God to use you in that way. We are a loving family. Our Spanish ministry, their slogan, their kind of words that they say is this: mi familia, mi iglesia. Mi familia, mi iglesia. You know what that means? My family, my church. Meaning the church is a family. A couple weeks ago, I said a phrase that I've had a lot of people say, that was really good. This is what I said. Church is not an event. Church is a family. Church is not an event. Church is a family. And so whenever we begin to say, well, I'm going to go to church or I'm going to go to the Texans game, those are two events that are competing. Those are not on the same equal level. And you can go to the Texans game. It's great. I like Texans too. But to be able to say, it's not an event. Well, I'll either go here or I'll go here. church is a family. We want you to be a member of the family. We want you to feel a part of the family. We want you to be a part of a life Bible study. We want you to be a part of a grow group. We want you to be a part of a ministry. We want you to know people when you walk in here, introduce yourself to people, to be a family and to care. And so he's saying, all of those who are with me, Titus, they greet you and greet those who love us in the faith. So here's a family. Now here's the deal, church. We can't just be a friendly place. We have to be a welcoming place. Here's what I mean by that. You can be super friendly and not be a friend to somebody. Here's what it looks like. Somebody walks into LBS, they're a new person. They go, hey, hi, how are you? You greet them, you learn their name. You go, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And you turn and talk to the same people you've been talking to for 5 years. And then they walk around and they get a little coffee and little donuts and they don't know what to do with themselves. That's very friendly, but that's not welcoming. You see the difference? So he said, I want you to greet these. I want you to greet those. I want you to welcome them in. We've got a story of a staff member of ours that she came to Metro Bible Study at the Loop campus and somebody greeted her and said, she was new. And she said, they said, come sit with us, and welcomed her and sat with her and befriended her. And now she's a staff member on our church staff. Isn't that cool to be able to see that? Not just being friendly, but being a friend. And then the last thing I'll tell you this is he says, I want you to extend grace. Did you see the last thing he says? Grace be with all of you. Grace be with all of you. You know that Paul ends all of his letters with grace? Isn't that great? He opens also and closes all of his letters with grace. If you look back in verse 4 of Titus, you would find that he's talking about grace. You look in verse 4 of chapter 1, verse 15 of chapter 3, he's still talking about grace. Here's the grace I want to give you. Show yourself grace. Show yourself grace. No one is harder on you than you. Can I just give you a little moment? 2 weeks ago, I spoke at something 8 years ago. And I said something that I meant this way, and somebody took it this way, and it wasn't like brash or inappropriate or sinful or anything, just wasn't well spoken. And I felt bad about that for 8 years. Isn't that terrible? I mean, how many messages have I given? But you know what? Which one the devil brings up, right? Brings up that one. But you didn't say it quite like you wanted, and you hurt somebody when you said it. Gosh, I've asked for forgiveness of the Lord. I've asked forgiveness from the person. Really wasn't even that big of a deal. I want you to get it big grandiose in your mind. I don't want to tell you what it is because then I say it again, right? So I want to start all over. 2 weeks ago, I was driving home and I thought of that again. Isn't that terrible? But isn't that how the devil does it? Given hundreds, I don't know, thousands of messages. I'm not sure how many I've given, but that one little spot, I just thought about it again. And driving home, I was sitting at the stoplight and I said, Lord, you've forgiven me. They've forgiven me. I've got to forgive myself. I'm not perfect. James says, any man who is perfect in what he says is a perfect man. I'm not a perfect man. I'm going to say things wrong. And especially as you speak as much as I do, I talk for a living. Of course, I'm going to say something wrong. And I sat there at that traffic light 8 years later, and I finally forgave myself. The devil can still bring it up, and he has in the last couple of weeks. I just say, it's done. Jesus has forgiven me, they've forgiven me, and I've forgiven myself. And I just ask you as we end this book of Titus, what do you need to forgive yourself about that God's already forgiven you? Nobody's a perfect parent. Nobody's a perfect spouse. Nobody's a perfect employer. Nobody's a perfect visionary. Nobody's a perfect worker. Nobody's a perfect employer. Nobody's a perfect Christian. Nobody's a perfect friend. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Forgive yourself. And let the grace of Jesus be real in your life. So show yourself grace. Show others grace as well. And most importantly, allow the grace of Jesus Christ to change your life. When that happens, the last words of Paul, grace be with you all. I tell you this, friends, this has been an awesome 46 verses, hasn't it? And we haven't just been through the 46 verses of Titus as we're closing out. We're going to have a good Father's Day message next week. We're not finished at all. We got more to talk about. But we've been through 1st and 2nd Timothy, and we've looked at the life of Paul and how he's ministered to Timothy when he was in Ephesus. Then we looked at Titus on the island of Crete, a place filled with lazy gluttons and liars is what it said. And we've seen the difference that he's made. Why? So that we can learn about how to build our church. We can learn about how to build our homes. And we can most importantly learn about how to build our lives. So I tell you this, as we've gone through what's called the pastoral epistles this year, take those things. Read back over in the next couple of weeks, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Look over your notes. Read back over Titus and to be able to see what God can do in your life with it. And say, Lord, with all of that, it gets down to this. This is it. This is a ball game, guys. Listen. Will I trust in the grace of God enough through Jesus Christ to allow him to use me in other people's lives to tell them about the grace of God? It's really that simple. It's just a beautiful circle. I learn about Jesus. I tell about Jesus. I learn about his grace. I share about his grace. I walk with him. I tell others about walking with him. And I let my life be used by him to make a difference. No matter where you are on the socioeconomic scale, no matter what your job is, let God use you, and you, my friend, you can be a Timothy, you can be a Titus, and you can be a difference maker in somebody's life, and you'll experience fulfillment like you never felt before. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Journey of months and months and months we've been on. We've looked at every single verse of 1 Timothy. Every single verse of 2 Timothy, every single verse of Titus, and we come to this place, Lord, with these 46 verses, and we just say, yes, Jesus, would you do something in us? May we walk in the grace of Christ. Use us. Use the ministries we're a part of, Lord. Star of Hope and many others. Father, we pray for our missionary friends. Oh, Lord, it breaks our hearts. It's a tough, tough job. Father, we thank you for our church and the ministry you're doing through us. We get to be a part of it in our physical service and our financial giving and our heart, our prayers. We love you, Lord. And we love your grace. We want to show it to others. We want to experience it ourselves. Thank you, Lord. We're people on the move, on a journey. Let us walk with you. Would you just pray right where you are, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Loop, digital family, and just say, Lord, give me the strength to take these next steps on the journey. Show me the pressing needs you want me to meet. We love you, Lord. Thank you for Titus, for Timothy, for Paul, for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at the Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.